You're listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
Say a little bit about this idea of hope. Hope, and we're going to, what I want to do is define hope and faith. How many of you know you sometimes have a problem with hope and faith, right? Yes. Let me just go ahead and pitch you a thought on this one, and it's not an axiom of truth, but by and large, it does pan out to be correct. And that is, when we in the natural realm use the word hope, we always attach it to doubt. Excuse me just a minute. Did y'all watch football games last night?
Yes.
I'm sorry I did. Auburn fans are happy over Thursday. I don't know why, but y'all are. I'm all right with that. Alabama showed out last night. They better hurry because they got to have to face them these other boys. But one of the things a commentator said last night about LSU who couldn't get out of the red zone, say red zone. That just reminds me when you said red zone that in October we're going to preach a series on the red zone. Y'all know what the red zone is? It's when you get inside the 20 of the other team. And their defense does stuff they never do anywhere else except right there. How many of you know you're not far from the goal? Can I tell you what the devil knows? You're not far from the goal. And he's got it. Oh, see right there, you're ahead of me. The same way the enemy wants to get in and take something on your side and your own defense. LSU last night was trying to get in, and that commentator said they had a, listen to this, they had a glimmer of hope. Now, What he said was, it's about 1% sure they're going to get in, about 99% sure they're not. So I'm just saying, when we use the word hope and think of how you use it, we say, I hope so. Well, that means you're not sure. That means you're saying that with doubt attached to it. I hope that a check comes through. You attach doubt to it. You're not sure that it will or not. I hope my child will be here. I'm just saying, generally, by and large, for us, as just the normal life in humanity where we live in our culture, when you say hope, you've attached it to doubt. Now, let me say something to everybody in this room. That is not the God kind of hope. That is not the hope that's in your Bible. That's not the tikvah. Tikvah means, and it's an Old Testament term for hope, it means it is going to happen without question. I expect it, and I do it confidently that it will happen. It's future, and it will happen. It's there, and it's coming, no doubt in my mind. When Rahab hung that tikvah out, the word tikvah is the same word for hope. Wow. She had hope that that wall wasn't going to fall at her house. I'm just saying. Well, in the New Testament, it's elpis, and elpis in the New Testament is for hope in the Old Testament, but it has the same idea, confident expectation. It is, I don't have it yet, but it's coming. How many of you know faith is now? Now faith is. I can have faith in yesterday. Oh, yeah, I know you do too, because the Bible says by faith we believe God created the heavens. Come on, so I've got faith for the past, right? See right now, my faith works present, my faith works past, but my faith doesn't work in the future. You didn't amen me on that one. Faith works now, and faith works yesterday, but faith don't work tomorrow. Faith is now, say now. It's right now, or it's already happened, and I can know it, but it's not tomorrow. What your faith has to attach to operate in tomorrow is hope. That's the difference. Yeah, that's right. Give the Lord a clap offering. You need to. Because let me say this to you. If I don't have hope in the future, then there's no faith for tomorrow. And the Bible doesn't tell me I've got to acquire faith for tomorrow. It says I need to have hope for tomorrow, because when tomorrow gets here, faith will take over. So they work the same. They work the same. But faith is now, and hope is tomorrow. I can believe tomorrow's going to happen just as real as I believe right now I'm healed by the stripes on his back. I know the sun's coming up in the morning. Come on now. Listen, one way or the other, the sun's coming up. You in or O-in, doesn't matter to me, but the sun's coming up tomorrow. I'm not worried about that. I won't step late tonight worrying about that one. Sun's coming up. So here's what I'm telling you. That's what hope is. And if you don't have hope, then your soul is not anchored. Your mind, your will, and your emotions are not anchored. Y'all still tracking me? So in this process of preaching on hope, I've been, I'm not bragging, I'm just saying this is just how life is with me right now, is I'm training because I'm going to be in a, I'm going to be in a Spartan race, 5-mile Spartan race coming up in November. I'm suckered in by my son Gabriel, so he's got me in this. So I'm in the gym working out, and I'm running and, you know, in the trails and on the streets, just everywhere I can go and trying to get myself in shape and be in shape for that time, trying to get my weight down to, you know, my fighting weight. And, you know, here, I'm just saying, little, hey, if you're going to do pull-ups, had you rather pull up 200 pounds or 180 pounds? Just saying. It's not rocket science here. I'm trying to make it plain. So I'm working on that and excited about it. But in the process, I have headset on, and I got my music on my phone. So I have it on my side, and I'm running. I got music. So I don't know how you all are, but I'm a 60s child. I was born in the 50s, 1950s, as a matter of fact. So I'm a 60s kid, and I listen to all of that music. And y'all may hate it. I still love it. Yeah, but it's not gospel. You know, I know it's not, but I still like it. I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, I'm going to get up here and act like something I'm not. Get up here and act like I'm so holy, all I ever listen to is gospel music. I'm not saying that's bad. I think we ought to. I fill my truck with gospel music. I get that. But I don't cull my 60s. I like blues. Keb Moe. I mean, you probably know him. I like blues. I like. So, this microphone on? Now, I'm going to let them play something for you, but I want to tell you what I do. When I'm running, I have this music, like, in my ears, right? So, what they've done, they've remixed old songs and put workout music to it. Cool, right? So, when I'm running up that hill and I, like, can't do another step, I get in the beat with the music, right? So here's, listen, I'm preaching on hope. You're going to see how God will use a 60 song right here. I'm telling you. Look at me. If God can use you, he can use a 60 song, right? He can use a donkey, use a 60 song. Come on, somebody, help me out. So, all right. So here's one of the songs I listen to. I'm going to play it here, and then I'm going to let you see the words to it. I'm running. I'm listening to this music, and God starts talking to me about hope. Can you hear the beat? Okay, so that's what I do. And how many of y'all remember that song, I'll Be There? Okay, so I'm running and listening to that song. And I think the Holy Ghost spoke to me. And he said, so am I. And I said, so am I what? He said, with you. And when you're in the bad places, just look back. Do y'all mind taking 3 minutes with me to just get some 60s mood in this room? I want y'all to play this for me and help us out here. Put this on the video and let's watch this. This is what I was running to. So you got to feel this now. This is the man to the lady. The bridegroom to the bride. Come on now. Come on now, you know that's right. You know that's right. Can y'all not see? Can y'all not see how God could use that? I'm just saying, I'm running, and that came to me, and I just thought, God, you know I'm so bashful and backward. I don't know if I could put that on in front of all those people. But I did anyway. Here's what I want to let you know. Here's what I want to let you know. The end run today, if you don't get anything else out of this service before you leave here, I want you to know something, that you have an anchor for your soul. It has already passed. Say Jesus. Now, let me tell you about hope. Hope can be for a thing. Hope can be for a circumstance. Now, listen to me. But hope is also a person. The Bible says in the book of Romans, if you read Romans and Hebrews and just circle every time hope is used, you're going to find out Paul's all about hope. And he says God is a God of hope. In other words, we have a God who's a God of hope. Amen? He's our hope. And Jesus is our hope that's gone into the presence of God. And I am connected right now to him. He is my hope in the kingdom of God. So I'm just saying, I've got this connection. So while I was running on this thing and hearing this, my end run is this. I am tethered. Zechariah 9 says it this way. You are prisoners of prosperity and hope, and you will return to a place of plenty. You don't have to shout, but I would. I'm just saying. He says I'm a prisoner of hope. Now that means something's got a hold of me. Look at me, let me tell y'all something. You're not strong enough to hold on in hard times. You look at me. You don't pack the gear. And you need to quit telling people, just hold on. That's their problem. They're screwed up from holding on. They're trying to do it themselves, get it figured out, and it's not working, and you adding more junk to it doesn't help them. How about giving them what Peter said? You are being kept by the Spirit of God. How about what Paul would let us know? Or Zechariah, I'm a prisoner of hope. Hope has me. Open your Bible up. Look in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. That's where we're reading from. If you don't mind, I'm going to back up to verse 12. I'm going to read out of the NIV. Begin at verse 12, but then I'm going to read to you two scriptures, if you don't mind, out of the Amplified Bible. So all you guys got Amplified Bible, you're going to be happy, happy. Listen to this one right here. Verse number 12, Hebrews 6. That you do not become sluggish, but intimate through, imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Faith and patience inherit the promise. For what God, for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could not swear by one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely in blessing I'll bless you, and in multiplying I'll multiply you. So verse 15, after that he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by a greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them the end of all dispute. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise, say he's talking about me, the immutability, the unchangeableness of his counsel, and he confirmed it with an oath. He swore he'd do it. You whoop your kids for swearing. God swore. Verse 18, that by two immutable things, in which is impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong underlying, a strong consolation. You ought to have a strong consolation this morning. Why? Because we have fled for a refuge to lay hold, circle it, of the hope set before us. Your constitution right now, your inner being and your steadfastness and your consolation is the hope that's set before you. How many of y'all believe Jesus is coming back? That's a hope. That's a blessed hope. Jesus is your hope. How many of you all have hope that when you see him, you're going to be like him? It doesn't yet appear what I shall be, 1 John 3, 2, but when I see him, I will be like him. It doesn't yet appear. Y'all not seeing who I really am. Who I really am is going to appear one day. I'm confident of that. Amen? I have this confidence. So your confidence is in the hope that's coming. This should let you know that hope is not, I hope so. Not about hope so. It's about know so in the future. Hope is knowing that it's going to be there. Faith is doing it right now. Hoping it out there is knowing it, and my doing it gets a hold of it. if I believe, yeah, hope is out there in front of us. That's my knowing it. But faith is here, and that's my saying it or doing it. If I believe, if I believe, if I believe, if I've got my knowing out there, if I believe, I can say. If I believe, if I've got my hope, then I can say. Faith is now. Saying is now. Hope is out there in front of me. I'm hoping that mountain's moving. What do you mean you're hoping it? Like 90% sure? Like 60% sure? No, I am confidently expecting it to happen. So my faith can operate on that. Be moved into the sea. Be healed in your body. Be delivered. See what I'm talking about? It's my future that's out there, but I speak it in my faith today. But if you don't have hope, folk, y'all, the Bible says, look at me, the Bible says you are most miserable. You can confess till you turn green. If you don't have hope, you're just talking. That's why people get in the Word of God and they start confessing the Word and they get the Word and they get books of the Word and all the right professions and confessions to make and nothing ever works for them. They don't have hope. They don't have a confident expectation that doing what they're doing is going to work. All right, I know it hurts your feelings on that one. Let's move. So here's what it says. Verse number 19. This hope, here you are again, this hope we have, underline it, as an anchor of the mind, will, and emotions. This hope that we have is an anchor for our mind, will, and emotions. How many of y'all have ever said, I think I'm going nuts? Well, put your hands down. You ain't got kids. How many of y'all got kids in this room? Okay, that's what I'm talking about. Everybody's got a kid said, I'm about to go nuts. Or they're driving me crazy. See, some of y'all think you're not called to work in the children's ministry because you get upset with children. We all do. The Bible says, and I want you to see it very clearly, hope is an anchor. It's what holds in place the mind, will, and emotion when the storms. Do you notice he went to a nautical term there? And he wasn't talking about clothing. He went all of a sudden, he's talking, and he says, this hope that I'm talking about, now this hope is a person, this hope I'm talking about is an anchor for the soul. Let me ask you a question. There's an anchor on the boat, right? Okay, so the anchor is used for what? Yes, it's used to hold the boat steady and stable in stormy weather, winds and waves are in current. Let me ask you another question, since y'all are a bunch of sailors in here. When is the anchor most effective? When it's seen or unseen? When it's on your boat, it ain't doing anything. See, that's what people tell me. They say, if Jesus could be here in the flesh, I'd really believe. You lying dog. You're making that up. You're lying through your front teeth. I'm going to tell you right now, if Jesus were in this room, in his physical body, first of all, half y'all would have a heart attack. That is a lame excuse for not doing the will of God. Not believing the Word of God. If he were here, he's not here now. Jesus says it's better for you that I go away. Come on, somebody, help me out. It's better for you that I go away, because if I go away, I'll send you back an anchor. I'll send you back somebody you cannot see, but he'll take care of you in the storm. He'll be there. The anchor hanging on your boat ain't doing no good. Y'all can come up in church every Sunday and get nothing. The Bible says, as I don't look on things that are seen, but on things that are unseen, because the things that are seen are temporal. They will pass away. But the things that are unseen, they are eternal, and nothing can take them away. So you drop your anchor in a storm to keep your boat stable. The unseen anchor is more effective than the seen anchor. Because if you see it, you don't need to hope. If you see it, you don't need to have faith. But it is the unseen realm that is your evidence. Amen? My faith looks in an unseen realm. All right, let me back up and say another. How many of you know they call them eyewitnesses? And an eyewitness is the one that's seen something. Seeing something is evidence for you. Did you know that? I saw that. Okay, that's evidence to you. You just had to see it. Do you understand in the spiritual realm, your faith sees the unseen realm. And to my faith, it is evidence to me. The Bible says faith is the evidence of things not seen. I believe all y'all in this room. I believe it's full of angels. Logically, I was right on the first one. Morally, I was right on the second one. It's not logical, angels, in this room. How many of you know if you're believing, you're trying to believe for something, there's several ways of being confident in something, having a confident expectation. There's two ways for you to be confident in something and to have this full assurance. And one of them is hope to be confident would be a mathematical hope might be one of them, or a mathematical certainty. Hope is a certainty. Say I'm certain. Okay. Mathematical certainty is this. If I have two apples and I add two more apples to it, how many apples do I have? Okay, that's a mathematical certainty. Angels in this room have nothing to do with mathematical certainty. Healing in your body has nothing to do with mathematical certainty. It does not resist and say that the things you see are not there. It simply believes there's something else besides what I see. There's another certainty that I have that's not seen with a normal eye, and you can't add it up on your calculator. There's what is called logical certainty. Logical certainty is all men are mortal. I'm not done yet. All men are mortal. Tim is a man. Therefore, Tim is. That's a logical certainty. Right? Y'all understand that and use it every day. You use it every day. Logical certainty and mathematical certainty. Use it every day. The thing we have a problem with is the certainty of the Word of God, and that is hope. I've got a hope that is as certain as 2 plus 2 is 4, as everybody is mortal, so Tim is mortal. I've got another one that says Jesus is Lord, says all the promises in God are yes and amen, says by His stripes I've been made whole. It says He will supply all of my need according to His riches and glory. It says He is able to save to the uttermost, the guttermost. He's able to keep those that have committed their lives to Him. Just saying, that's my hope, and it is certain. Say certain. Biblical hope is a confident expectation and a desire for something good in the future. It doesn't just desire something good, it expects it to happen or to be. Hope is confidence that it is and it will happen. And your faith works off of that. So till you get that, what you're talking is like whistling in the dark. Y'all ever whistle in the dark before? Oh, come on. You ever go in a dark room, you're a little bit scared, and you didn't want to let your wife know you're scared? Yeah, I'm coming in that front door, and I got a gun in my pocket. I'm moving right through this living room. I'm just letting everybody know. I'm just whistling in the dark. And that's what a lot of people do. And we do it sometimes at our church. We do it many times probably in our life. And that is we just start saying stuff because we need something to work. We're not sure it's going to work. I'm going to ask y'all to back off of it just a little bit and let's get our hope right. So I'm going to ask you another nautical thing then, and then we're going to move a little bit further forward. Well, did I get done with that verse? You need to get all of verse 18. 19. Let me read it one more time, and I'm going to pull 20 into it, and then we'll kind of close on this kind of. Man, there's so much in hope that Jesus preached years. Did I tell you that in October we're going to do the red zone? Did I tell you you're going to wear team colors all month long? NFL first 3 weeks. Panthers. Falcons. Saints. Los Santos. Last Sunday of the month, it's all about college. You can be for one of three teams in this house. Y'all see, y'all thought I was going to say LSU. I am coming in purple and gold. I'm just saying, the issue is, you're going to be for Auburn or Alabama, or you can be for Tuskegee. All right, there. Look, I know there's going to be a Georgia fan in here and a Mississippi State fan or something. Y'all can wear your colors. That's okay. But we're just going to highlight those teams. And those of us that are seem to be the outcasts of society, we'll wear purple and gold and be... And we're preaching every Sunday on Red Zone. So let's go back to this. So the hope, verse number 19, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Amen. Oh my goodness. Amen. And which enters the presence behind the veil. Do you see what Paul is doing? He's talking to Hebrews, right? They're Hebrews. They're a bunch of Jews here, and they're all serving Jesus, but they're about to quit because nobody else in their family is. Y'all know how that is, right? So they all think they're kooks and flakes, and if they pay their tithe, they say they're crazy, and the preacher's using all their money to buy clothes. Y'all wish I would. And so I'm just saying, so they were in that kind of tension right there, and Paul is trying to pull them back and focus them again, and he brings them thoughts they would understand. They knew nautical terms because they knew what the Sea of Galilee was. They understood the systems there, and he begins to talk to the Hebrews about it. They understood that there was a system of the presence of God, that it was in the Holy of Holies, and couldn't anybody go back there but a priest once a year, one time a year. And he had to be a high priest. He had to be cleansed. And even for him, they tied a rope around his ankle in case he had a smidgen of sin that he walked in there, it would just fry him. And they would drag him out. Says that he was a priest. Says he goes in the Holy of Holies. Nobody gets there, but my anchor's in there. When the veil was rent and we have access now, here's how you have access. You don't have access because you're pretty, because you got money, and because you prayed the sinner's prayer. I want you to have prayed the sinner's prayer, but what got you there was the anchor. What got you, oh, come on now, what got you there was the anchor. Quit thinking you're doing this when it's him doing it. Quit thinking you're attaching to your works and your ideas, baby. You're attached to Jesus. He was the only one worthy to go in that place and come back out on his own. Now, we're attached to that. And it's steadfast and it's sure. I don't care what the doubters say. And which enters in the presence behind the veil. Verse number 20, where the forerunner, say Jesus, where the forerunner has entered, excuse me, for who? Who'd he enter for? Why did he go to the Holy of Holies? Baby, he didn't go back there for himself. He was already Holy of Holies. He didn't need to go there. He went there for you because he is your anchor. You are tethered to one that can take you right in the very presence of God. He will make you steadfast and sure in that anointing. He's a forerunner. He's entered in for us. Even Jesus. We can preach that, but we won't. Having become high priest forever. Can you say today? Yeah. He's still the anchor. He's still got you. You're still tethered and tied in to the Holy of Holies. I don't feel holy. I didn't ask you how you felt. We're not talking about you, we're talking about him. He entered in. I'm tethered to him. It's not about me. I didn't get me in there. He got me in there because I'm tethered to him. So then you got to ask yourself the other question, and that question, it might be this one right here. If the boat has an anchor, and when the anchor's up on the boat supports the anchor. Excuse me just a minute. The boat holds the anchor when it ain't in the water. It's seen. So let me help some of y'all. You can work all you want to. You can work all you want to. You can do all your little Christian stuff that you want to do, all your little religious pattering around. You just do all you want to. But let me help you on this one thing. All of that seen stuff is not what's helping you. Look what I've done. God, I have. God, look. God. Can I help you on this? As long as the anchor's seen, the boat holds the anchor. Let me ask you a question. Who holds who? Or who holds whom? When the anchor's in the water. Who holds whom? Somebody help me. Come on, you Navy guys. Help me now. Help me now. Huh? The boat doesn't hold it anymore. Excuse me just a minute. That boat is not holding the anchor anymore. That boat is held by the anchor. It's held by the anchor in the storm. I'm going to help you right now. I'm preaching better than you shouting, but I'm going to tell you this right now. That anointing and that anchor that is put out there is what's holding you. It's not how much you prayed yesterday. It's not what all you've done. You're being held by an anchor. Thank God is right. So you read your Bible. I'll close on these. In Matthew 14 and in John 6, we have a story there of Jesus in a storm and the boys on a boat. Back to the boat. Jesus said, I'm going to the mountain to pray. You boys going across the lake over there, and y'all get set up, and I'll be over there for the campaign a little bit later. I'll catch me another ride. So I'm going to the mountain to pray. The Word of God says in the middle of the night, matter of fact, they said it was in the first watch, so it was between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning. It was in that death watch, that watch when you're supposed to be setting everything right. It's a time when you're setting your day to go. They're in the middle of a storm. They can't get their tomorrow set. They're in a storm. You read your Bible? The Bible said that the wind was contrary to them, said the waves were about to swamp them, and all of a sudden, they looked out, and what did they see? They saw in your Bible, they saw Jesus walking. Now, the Bible says walking on the water, walking on the sea. It just depends. But you look up the literal on that. He wasn't walking in the valleys of the waves. You know there are peaks and valleys of waves, right? He was walking on the waves. He didn't stop the wind. He didn't stop the waves. He's walking on the waves. The sea's moving, and he's stepping on those waves. And he's walking on the waves, and he gets to the boat, and he says, boys, don't be afraid, it is I. Yeah. Listen, you're thinking, if it's you, stop this wind. He doesn't stop the wind. He's still in the wind. He's still on the waves. Peter stands up on the side of the boat. And he said, if this is you, then bid me come. Your Bible says that he slipped off the side of that boat. Let me help y'all right now. He did not have a special concrete path. He didn't have a place where it was calm for him to walk on it. He jumped out in the middle of a storm. And your Bible says, as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he was on the waves. He was in the storm. The storm didn't leave, but he was on top of it. He was in the storm, but he wasn't drowning. He kept his eyes on the anchor of his soul. He had an anchor, and he kept his eyes on it. But then your Bible says he looked aside, and he saw the wind and the waves, and he got scared, and he began to sink. Now, Jesus asked a strange question right along in there. He grabs him and picks him up. They automatically get back on the boat. Now, John says immediately they were where they're supposed to be. But Jesus asked Peter something before they got there. He said, why did you doubt? Let me ask you a question, because you're getting the same thing. Why is it you are in doubt? The doctor's report. I lost my job. Excuse me just a minute. My baby died. Oh, I've got some doubt. I've got issues. I've got things. But Jesus is still saying, no matter what the storm is, why do you doubt? You keep your eyes on me. I am your anchor of your mind, will, and emotions. You're not coming out of this unless you can stay focused on the anchor. I'm pulling you out. Can I read the Amplified to that same verse 19? Now we have this hope as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. It cannot slip, and it cannot break down under whoever steps out on it. A hope that reaches further and enters into the very certainty of the presence behind the veil. Can I help you right now? You're going to be feeling yourself today, instead of you trying to hold on, you're going to feel a security in you. That all hell is breaking loose here. All hell is breaking loose, but I'm on something that cannot break. It doesn't matter how strong the winds are, and it doesn't matter how much weight I'm putting on it. Come on now. I can put the weight of a lost child. I can put the weight of financial burdens. I can put the weight of a lost job. I can put the weight of a bad doctor's report. I can put the weight on it. I can put the weight of a sin and a failure on this, and it will not break. It is my hope. It is my anchor, and his name is Jesus, and that tethers me in the storm. Two more thoughts, because I got to get back to the title, pawning your title. The other thought is this, say anchor. Look at someone and say, he didn't say helicopter. Look at someone else and say, he did not say helicopter. Yeah, because see, some of y'all got mixed up, anchor and helicopter. I got this Jesus. He is a helicopter of my life. When I'm in trouble, he just comes and plucks me out and gets me out of it. No, baby, he's an anchor. Daniel's in a lion's den. He didn't get out of the lion's den, baby. God showed up in the den. The anchor was there. He didn't pluck him out. The three Hebrew children didn't get out of the fiery furnace. They went through the fiery furnace. Paul did not get out of prison. He went through the prison. I'm just saying, God's not a helicopter. He is an anchor of your mind, will, and emotions, and you're going to make it. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. Hebrews 11:1, for real, I'm done. I'm not done, I'm quitting. Hebrews 11:1. Oh, shatabanaha. I'm going to say, this thing's been burning in me for weeks now. I know we're going to be in the red zone, but I'm going to have hope I'm in there. Let me read the Amplified Bible, Hebrews 11:1, and then we're going to pray. Hebrews 11:1 Amplified. Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for. Hope is out there. My title deed is right here. Things we hope for, being the proof of things we don't see. And it's a conviction of the reality. See, some of y'all don't have that because you don't have faith until you see it. Well, they had a lot of faith because they got healed. I'm going to tell you what, a lot of faith has nothing to do with getting healed. You can have a lot of faith and be your time to die, and you ain't changing that day. Excuse me just a minute. It's appointed unto man once to die. I'm going to be checking out of here one of these. I don't know when it is. I may be preaching. That's fine. I don't care. I don't know. I don't want to go out early. I don't want the devil to have one day of my life. Every day he takes off of my life is the day I can't be with my wife. Is the day I can't be with my grandchildren. Is the day I can't preach the gospel. And the devil ain't getting that. I'm living till the day. So, enough said. Your hope, it's the title deed, the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, the convictions of the reality, faith perceiving as a real fact what is not revealed to the senses. It doesn't deny reality. So I'm going to help some of y'all. You cut your hand off. It's not cut off. It's not cut off. It's not cut off. You don't put a tourniquet on, it's going to bleed to death with your not cut off hand. Saying it's not there doesn't make it go away. Now, I want you to speak positively. I get that. But hope is not about positive confession. Hope is a reality of the realm of the Spirit. The Bible says my faith is my title deed. Don't tell me if you've done it. But if you pawn your title, you take your automobile up to one of these title pawns, you take your title in, you give that title to that person behind that desk, they give you $500. They give you 60 months to pay it back at $100 a month. plus interest. And you get, listen to me, and then listen to what I'm saying, listen to what I'm saying. Then you get in their car and drive off. Oh, yes, you do. No, that's my car. That's my car. No, the car belongs to whoever has the title. Don't pawn your title. Don't give it away. Devil can't have your stuff. You got faith. Faith is your title deed. I may not see the car, but baby, I own the car. I've got an 03 Fat Boy motorcycle. I own it because I've got the title to it. I don't have to look at it to see it. I can be in Birmingham. I can go to Alaska. I can be anywhere in the world, but I know it's mine because I got the title deed. You can borrow my truck and drive it off somewhere, and you can tell everybody it's your truck, but you're lying because I got the title deed. I want everybody to stand with me this morning, if you would, please. Hallelujah. I speak over you right now that God has given you a supernatural anointing to have your mind open according to Ephesians chapter 3, that your mind will be open, that you will be able to attend to and understand the depth and the breadth and the height and the length of the calling of God and His love for you. I declare to you that you don't hold the anchor. The anchor holds you. We're not denying storms in this house. Tell me it ain't so. It is so. It is what you see. David put it this way. Why are you downcast, O my inner self? And why should you moan over me and be disquieted within me? Talking to himself, right? What's up with you? Here's what he says. He makes this demand. Hope in God. Why are you downcast? Why are you moaning? Why are you upset? Why are you letting me have ulcers? Why all of this mind, will, and emotion? What's going on? And here's what he declares. He says, his spirit man says, hope in God and wait expectantly for him. For I shall yet praise him, and he is my help and my God. I will praise him. I will yet praise him. Why don't you close your eyes and bow your heads right now, just for a moment. You're in this room this morning, and you are without hope in this world. And according to Scripture, if you don't have hope, you are of all men most miserable. What is your hope? Your hope is Jesus. It's never been a thing. You ask people what they hope in. I hope in my 401k. I hope in my job. I have hope because I'm debt free. I have hope because I've been through Financial Peace University. I have hope in my finances. Let me tell y'all something. You don't have hope in stuff. I'll give you another axiom of truth right here. You can't have hope in something that doesn't have a soul. Your money, your job, your education. I know I'm going to do good because I've got a doctorate degree. I'm glad you do. I do too. But so what? If you don't have something that has a soul, then it can't help your soul. Well, Pastor, I got hope in my wife, my husband. I've got hope in my children. I've got hope in my friends at church. I've got hope in my pastor. I've got hope in my counselors. Let me tell y'all something right now. You can't have hope in people that are flawed. Oh, you don't have to amen me. I know I'm right. We've all got flawed souls. You depend on me, and one day you're going to say, he really doesn't love me because I called him, he didn't answer me back. I texted him, he didn't text me back. I Facebooked him, he didn't Facebook me back. He must not love me. Well, we're going to let you down because our souls are fractured. But there is somebody who's got a soul who is not fractured. He is whole. He is pure. He is Jesus Christ, the strong Son of God. He is full of power and might. He has purity. His soul is not unraveled. His soul is not flawed. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And He is the anchor of your mind, will, and emotions in a troubled, stormy world.
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.